Finding a solid food source is a top priority in the red dust of the Australian outback. But one thorny little devil has developed an appetite for the desert's spiciest buffet. Not all creatures can stomach one of nature's most common prey animals, but this little armored lizard can sit back and let the snacks come to him in life, death, and taxonomy. Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy, your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And thank you to Johanna for the creation of this week's artwork. To check that out, you can visit us at our home on the web at ldtaxonomy.com. And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. Instead of a plug for the Patreon, I'd like to plug just giving us feedback. We love to hear feedback. We've gotten some great feedback and just interaction from some of the more involved listeners, and we love hearing your stories and what you like or don't like about the show. So if you have feedback or something you just want us to cover, just send that in to ldtaxonomy@gmail.com.
And today we're talking about a desert demon. But more on that later.
Yeah. Stuff of legend and folklore. A cryptid stalking the desert sands. We're talking about the thorny devil. Not to be confused with the horny toad, which is a equally spiky lizard. That we covered on like episode 4 of this show.
I thought I had to like search to make sure that we didn't do this one,
but
because it's very similar.
It is very similar, and but nope, this is a different lizard that is absolutely covered in spikes, but is also known as the thorny dragon, the mountain devil, and the Moloch. But we're going to call it here, The Devil You Know and Stick Flick. Because Flick's an ant. Hmm.
He is.
But
he sure is.
He is. Maybe the best ant. All right, let's taxonomize this. Let's do a science. The kingdom is the one you know. It's the one you love. And it's the one that you are in, you listener. It's Animalia. Unless you are a philodendron, in which case you are not in this kingdom. The phylum is Chordata. The subphylum is Vertebrata. Spines. We don't often do that, but sometimes you throw that in there. The class is Reptilia, so this is a lizard, or a reptile. The order is Squamata, so it is a lizard. The suborder is Iguania. The family is Agamidae. The genus is Moloch. Or Moloch, and the species is Horridus. Horridus. Moloch Horridus. Horridus Rising. Maybe that's what I should have gone with. That is the name of one of 60 books from the Warhammer 40K series. Had no idea there were that many entries in the series. I was like, oh, that might be an interesting like sci-fi world to explore. And then when I found out just the sheer volume of volumes that I would have to read to get up to speed, I was like, yeah, maybe this one's not for me. But anyway, since we are in the business of naming things, it's time for my favorite part of the show and the listener's favorite part of the show, nitty-gritty nomenclature, the part of the show where I ask you, Joe, a question. That is, what is the English translation for the binomial nomenclature, which in this case is Moloch Horridus? What does it mean? Does it mean A, thorny horror, B, bristling king of shame, C, terrible deity, or D, horrid desert fiend?
Give me the first two again.
Thorny horror, and bristling king of shame.
Huh.
Terrible deity, horrid desert fiend.
Terrible deity. Final answer.
Oh, I thought you were gonna. I thought you had sniffed me out. No, that is incorrect. The answer is bristling king of shame.
What is Moloch? Is it really Moloch, as in like the Canaanite god?
Well, the
and his name means king of shame.
It is the it is a Hebrew word for king mixed with a word mixed with the Hebrew word for shame or derision. So it's taking king and like. You know, it's like King Shming, I guess. Like, you know, they like a derogatory way of a play on words.
Oh, so Moloch is a pejorative term.
It's a pun,
for a
basically.
Canaanite god.
Yeah, it's a play on. It's a pejorative play on words for. So I don't know what the Canaanites actually called their god that required child sacrifices, but the Israelites call them Moloch, seemingly. Out of derision. And Horridus means bristling. So Horridus is actually like referring to something that is spiky or bristling or unpleasant, and then it's been the meaning has been transferred over into something that is just bad or terrible. Horrid. Horrible.
Gotcha.
So... just kind of like terrible. Terrible initially meant something that was that was terrifying, like, you know, something that was awe-inspiring or fear or like fear-inspiring was terrible. It wasn't bad, you know, like just something that was very very awesome. Awesome in another word that initially meant something that's not like how we use it today. Awe-inspiring. But yes, Moloch Horridus means bristling king of shame. Would you like to hear about what this guy looks like?
Sure.
All right, the thorny devil looks like a tiny armored dinosaur that has a cactus glued onto its outside. It is a spiny, spiny boy. It is covered in those spiky scales, a mottled mix of yellows, reds, and browns, kind of a very classic desert camo. The skin texture is rough, almost sandpaper-like, so even if you are not speared by one of its spines, you're not going to enjoy the skin texture. It does have a pretty small and compact body compared to other lizards. This is not dissimilar to the horny toad. Very squat squamata. If you're picking up what I'm laying down. He has a kind of a false head on its neck. So like right on the nape, which is where like just, you know, for between your shoulder blades, kind of the nape. There's another like clump of scales and spines on the neck of this guy, which if there was an animal that was trying to eat it and was going for the head, might accidentally go for a big ball of spines instead of the head, which would be advantageous for getting away. And he has a short, stubby tail. It's also just absolutely covered in spines. I mean, this is a prickly boy. Mm-hmm. It's pretty big for a lizard. It is in the suborder Iguania. Those tend to be on the larger side. But how big is it, Joe?
Great question. Welcome to the Beloved Measure Up segment, the official listener's favorite part of the show. Well, it's not the favorite part of the show, but it is a part of the show. It's the part of the show when we present the animal sizes and dimensions in relatable terms to a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send an audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering the words measure up into eldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new measure up intro this week. And there's no real like character that is a thorny devil. There is one represented in media, and I'll tell you about it shortly. But without further ado, the listener's favorite part of the show. There's a video game where there's a thing called a thorny dragon that is almost, it's definitely inspired by a thorny devil. In fact, in the video game, it looks less thorny than in real life. Have you ever played the Ark survival games?
No, that's the one where it's little dinosaurs and stuff.
Yeah, the Ark Survival Evolved. You can encounter and even tame and ride thorny dragons, which look like thorny devils.
Yeah, survival games are not my cup of tea. Although I do have it downloaded because it was free at one point.
Ark Survival Evolved?
One of those. What, I don't know which one. It was one of the Ark games. I was like, dinosaurs sound cool, but a survival game does not. I already have to survive in real life. I don't want to have to like build a house in a video game and right. feed myself and whatnot. I'm good. I'd rather kill aliens.
When I was a kid, there was a game called Turok, and there's this, and I was like, oh, I have to be a person, and I can't just play as the dinosaurs. I don't want that.
0 out of 10. I'm not a dinosaur.
Yeah. But let's talk about their length. Adults typically measure between 15 and 20 centimeters, or 6 and 8 inches. From snout to tail tip, females are generally slightly larger than males, which sometimes happens in lizards.
Happens reptiles in a lot of species. And
birds. Yeah. And that randomly, the whale we talked about recently.
The bowhead? Bowhead? Mm-hmm. Forgot which one we decided that was going to be.
Probably bow. So there, let's, which one of these is correct? A, 2.1 Spinifex grass blades go into the length of a thorny devil. B, 1.5 thorny devils go into the length of a pit jant jara spearhead. Or C, 0.5 bilby tails go into the length of a thorny devil.
This is like the second Australian animal we're doing in a row, right?
Is it?
I believe so, yes, because the last one we did was the bogong moth, and that was a... We're out in the outback, mate.
A bilby is a marsupial that also lives in the desert with the thorny devil.
I know there was a Bluey episode about it.
And the spearhead is used by indigenous people of Central Australia.
The Aborigines. Spears are cool. That one. The spearhead.
B, final answer?
Yes.
The correct answer is 1.5 thorny devils go into the spearhead.
Nice.
That's correct. The spearhead is about 11 inches long.
I would make a club out of thorny devils.
Yeah, that seems effective.
Like the Franklinator in Futurama, where he just ties a badger to a stick. I would just tie a thorny devil to a stick. And have that be my weapon of choice.
Let's talk about weight. The thorny devil is 3 to 90 grams, or 1 to 3 ounces. 6 million grams, or 3 ounces.
6 million grams.
90 grams, or 3 ounces. With females often heavier, especially when gravid, which means to be carrying eggs. Gravid.
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 Are you gravid? Yes, I just went to the store and got some eggs.
Graven and Goliath. how many of which one of these is correct? A, 17 emu feathers go into the weight of a thorny devil. B, 4.9 thorny devils go into the weight of a Uluruk sample. Uluruk sample. C, 3.7 desert Kwandong fruits go into the weight of a thorny devil.
Bogong, Kwandong.
Kwandong fruit are a bush food in the Outback.
They don't sell that at Outback Steakhouse.
Uluru rocks are a cultural and geological landmark in Central Australia. And an emu feather is a feather from an emu.
Is it? Huh. Still my son's favorite animal. Like, it just, I can't believe it's stuck around this long. Usually things like this change, but nope, it's still an emu.
It endures, and in enduring grows stronger.
Yep. And I still see emu farms when I drive around Central Florida. So, what an odd animal.
The Uluru rocks.
That one, Uluru rocks. Not
4.9 going to the weight of an Uluru rock sample.
A sample, a hand-sized though. That's, piece. Yeah, I was going to say that's
a hand-sized piece.
Because, like, what are the Uluru rocks? One of those, like, giant maces in the middle of the country? Cause,
yeah.
Yeah, sure. A hand-sized piece of Uluru rock.
Final answer?
Yeah. Can't be B.
Correct
twice.
Answer is 17 emu feathers. Yeah. A. But that's all I got for that. Do you have any quick facts before we get into the major fact?
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna mention Bluey again. But just watching Bluey, they live in Australia, but they don't have air conditioning because I guess they don't.
Seems bad.
Aircon is bad. They don't want it. Most of Europe doesn't have it, and I guess a lot of Australia doesn't either. I get that the weather might be really good, but what about the wildlife? Why they have a whole room that's like inside, but like with these big sliding doors that they keep open all the time, and it's just like open to the backyard and whatnot. And I couldn't imagine doing that here in Florida because I would have black widows and scorpions and snakes in my house within a few days if I just left doors open. And yet they live in paradise if they can do this, but we know that Australia is full of deadly things that you cannot just have wandering into your house. So I don't know if it works different in Brisbane, which is where the characters are supposed to live. But if you're from Australia, specifically like the north eastern portion, do you also just have your sliding glass doors open for periods of the year? Like that, so that just stuff could walk in? Like that.
Also, in addition to this cartoon,
Yeah. Is that a thing that else that Australians from that part of the country do? That's like a normal thing to just have not just your windows with screens open. I mean, I do that here, but the important factor is there are screens stopping the black widows and brown recluses and scorpions and snakes from getting into my house. So I don't know. It makes me want to move there all the more if I can just have doors open, man. Anyway, let's talk about the thorny devil. It is found in the arid deserts and scrublands of central and western Australia. So actually not in the Brisbane area. That's in eastern portion. So this is central and western. So that's the outback. It lives in sandy or rocky deserts, hiding among the spinifex grass, as you mentioned, specific kind of grass. Or sometimes burrows just underneath the sand to stay cool. Males will fight for females by head bobbing and slapping each other with their spiky tails. And the mating season starts in late winter and ends in early spring. They are ambush
hunters. They just kind of, they sit and wait for prey to pass by, and then they will snap them up. And they can live for up to 20 years in the wild. That is a long time to have to be a lizard.
Yeah.
It's, you never know. Like, if you had one of these things as a pet, you wouldn't realize that you just, like, married this thing. It's just, it's part of your family now, like a cat. But yeah, it's a,
yeah,
it's
it lives exactly as long as a cat.
That is a long lifespan. They are mostly solitary, except for during the mating season, which is when they mingle. And they also compete for hunting grounds, prime hunting grounds. They will hiss when threatened, kind of like a angry, spiky tea kettle. But despite being one of what I imagine must be one of the most unpleasant things to try and eat, they are preyed upon by snakes, birds of prey, and these monitor lizards called goannas. Mm-hmm. Goanna, make way.
Goanna,
make way.
I've seen Fern Gully.
Is that what they're called? Goannas?
Is it in Fern Gully or is it in Rescuers Down Under? I'm thinking of.
Well, if it's. Oh, yeah, it is. It's Rescuers Down Under. Fern Gully doesn't take place in Australia. Rescuers Down Under does. And that giant monitor lizard that the bad guy has is named Johanna.
There's a in Fern Gully, the last rainforest, there's Lou, the goanna, but I've never seen that one. Wait, is that the
there's
one I've
another
seen?
Fern Gully? Is this a straight to DVD what? Disney sequel?
Wait a minute, is Fern Gully, the last rainforest, the name of Fern Gully?
No way. There's. I'm not looking it up.
It is, I think.
I already have my favorite version of Fern Gully, and it's called James Cameron's Avatar.
Yeah, pretty much. All right.
Yeah. One of the interesting facts about the Thorny Devil is that, similar to the way toads can absorb water through their skin, so does the Thorny Devil. Can absorb water through its skin like a sponge, channeling that moisture to its mouth. So it kind of like deposits it can like sit in a puddle and then deposit that water in its mouth and drink it.
Osmosis?
Kind of, but like a frog just absorbs it into its body, into its cells. This one like channels it into its mouth and then drinks the water.
It drinks your milkshake.
It has a straw that goes across the room. And that's all I got.
All right. Well, the Thorny Devil is a very picky eater. In fact, it pretty much only eats ants. It's a highly specialized feeder. So its diet is diet, behavior, and even body is finely tuned to exploit ants as a primary food source, which I didn't realize. I mean, like, not a lot of things only eat ants. I think even anteaters mostly eat ants. I forget, but they probably also eat like beetles and stuff.
They pretty much just eat. If I think of an animal that is finely tuned to eat ants, the anteater is the one, because it doesn't even have a jaw. It's just a tube to suck up ants. And also the aardvark. Remember,
we talked about the vampire bat, which drinks blood as a primary food source. But just like blood, ants are a very poor nutrient deliverer, if you will. So they almost exclusively feed on small black ants, particularly in the genus Iridomyrmex, also known as Argentine, or meat ants. If I had to eat only ants, I would choose probably meat ants as well.
Yeah, the ones that were called meat ants would probably be the best.
Occasionally, it may consume other small ant species, but the Argentine ants dominate its diet and are very abundant in its territory. But a single thorny devil can consume 2,000 to 5,000 ants in a single day, depending on its size and activity level. And the high volume is necessary because ants are nutrient poor. But ants are, even though they're low in calories, they are rich in protein and certain nutrients.
Bear Grylls knows that.
Yeah. The thorny devil's metabolism is adapted to process this low energy, high volume diet efficiently with a slow, very slow metabolic rate suited to its desert lifestyle. It eats like they tell you to eat if you want to burn calories. Eat low density foods. Low calorie dense foods.
Right. Eat high volume, like eat a bunch of spinach.
Right. Because you'll feel full.
And cottage cheese.
And you get to eat a lot, but you're not over calorizing yourself. So thorny devils locate ant trails where ants move in organized lines to and from their nests. They position themselves near over these trails and just remain stationary or move along it like Pac-Man. Just let them walk to him.
The ants are just like, well, I was following this chemical trail left by my brethren, but now I'm in a wet cave.
The chemicals led me astray.
Brother. Yeah. I crave the damp cave.
They use a short, sticky tongue to flick ants into their mouth one at a time with remarkable precision. This rapid, repetitive action allows them to consume hundreds of ants in a single feeding session, which can last hours. Just spending hours Pac-Manning your way across the desert is just a funny way to eat.
So here's an interesting question. Would you rather have a diet where there was tons of what, like the food was abundant, but you had to eat, you had to spend basically all day eating it to get enough food? Or would you rather be like a python or a jaguar or something like that, where you ate once a month, food was really hard to get, but you could go for a long time without it? Like you could just like kind of get it all done in one go and then be good for a while.
I think I'd rather be the thorny devil than be a polar bear.
Like the thorny devil always knows that there's going to be food, and like,
yeah,
your whole life is, but you do have to dedicate the majority of your life to eating it. Like, you can't really do much else.
Yeah, but like, I guess there's a fine line, because I'd rather be a thorny devil than a polar bear, but I'd rather be a polar bear than a hummingbird, you know, where you literally can't stop. It's like that movie Crank or Speed, where you literally can't stop. That seems stressful to me.
I mean, I guess both the polar bear and the thorny devil spend most of their lives dedicated to food, but the difference is, yeah, the thorny devil like finds it.
Right.
The polar bear is just disappointed for, you know, 29 days out of the year or out of the month, and then finds the one like whale or seal or something.
You would probably, as a Dark Souls fan, probably enjoy being the polar bear.
But when it comes to things I need,
delayed gratification,
I like consistency. I like knowing where my meal's going to come from.
That's true.
It would be, knowing my luck, I would be like fishing in all the wrong spots, or be looking for seals in all the wrong spots. Like, there would be this mass seal migration right where I came from, and then I would go over there and all the seals would be gone.
Yeah, polar bear feels like it's living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
like one car payment and the polar bear starves to death.
Yeah, pretty much. Like you just miss one crucial hunt and you're toast, where the thorny devil does not have this problem.
The thorny devil, I could spend more time talking about polar bears. I've been reading a book about the Arctic. But that's not what this is about. We talked about the Arctic two episodes ago.
Sorry, I derailed us.
It targets smaller ants, avoiding larger insects with that might have strong defenses, like biting or stinging. So it prefers ants to like big ants that could actually sting it. Although it seems hard to sting. I don't know.
On the inside of your mouth, though, like you lap up like a bullet ant or something like that, you're going to have a rough time if you don't have anti-venoms or whatever.
I forgot it had to come past the defenses for you to eat it. The thorny devil's small mouth is specialized jaw are optimized for picking up tiny ants. Its teeth are extremely minute. It has teeth, but they're tiny. But chewing is kind of unnecessary for something that's eating something like that's very small. Like if like couscous. Like if you're eating couscous, you could chew it.
But like why not just drink it? If
you
didn't
have teeth, you might be okay. Or chia seeds.
I've never had chia seeds.
Chia seeds in like a yogurt or like a kind of nice.
It's
almost like a tapioca. Ends up being like a tapioca, but there, not quite.
I have this kind of like seed mix thing with flax and chia as part of it. So I actually do eat chia seeds every single day. So I went from going, I've never eaten them before, to wait, yes, I eat them every single day. I put them in my oatmeal. Yeah, yeah.
They're usually in a mix. Yeah, like an oatmeal, like an overnight oats. Yeah. Do you do overnight oats? Kind of nice.
No, one minute oats. Like the 1 minute Quaker oats is what I do. I don't know if that's the same. We're talking about the same thing, but
no, overnight oats is like the cold brew of oatmeal where you like put it in milk or something or water and put it in the fridge overnight and then it becomes oatmeal.
No. I get like the 1 minute Quaker oats, put some water in it and put it in the microwave for a minute and then I have oatmeal. Like that, yeah. That takes way less time and prep work. Why would I go overnight?
Like the pouches? Is it the pouches? People say the pouches aren't good because they've got a lot of extra ingredients. But
no, it's just the just the steel cut. It's the big barrel of steel cut oats. That's unpalatable unless you put like a little bit of vanilla, like definitely a dash of salt and some cinnamon, and then just dump a bunch of fruit in there, and then it's like, oh, okay, I can eat this now. But otherwise it feels like you're eating like metal keys.
A bad carb is a bad food. I'll just say that.
Yeah, if you're gonna eat a carb, you might as well enjoy it, right?
Right. Its digestive tract is adapted to process large quantities of chitin, the hard exoskeleton around bugs, extracting nutrients efficiently. The stomach and intestines are relatively simple but effective for breaking down small protein-rich prey. Feels like you're getting a lot of fiber eating chitin.
But it seems like that's the protein is the main thing. So you are getting a carb.
It's basically a meat that's surrounded by oats. That's what it is.
Meat and oats.
A bug is oats and an oats-o skeleton. Because it's just fiber. The thorny devil's slow movements and low metabolic rate complement its ant-based diet, allowing it to survive on limited energy. The limited energy provided by ants while minimizing water and energy loss in the desert, similar to like the Greenland shark or whatever. Like they slow down their metabolism by just not moving that much.
anything that goes into like thanatosis or whatever, hibernation, just taking that that metabolism and slowing it all the way down so that you don't expend very much energy. Good strategy.
And then this also allows them to occupy a specific ecological niche, which means they don't have a lot of competition. They're not competing with other reptiles or other larger prey for the same, or other larger predators for the same prey. It's kind of like, this is everywhere and no one wants it. So I'm going to capitalize. I'm going to find it. It's finding an untapped market,
yeah,
in an ecological system. Feeding activity peaks during warmer months when ants are more active. In cooler months, the thorny devil may reduce feeding or enter a state of torpor to conserve energy, which is what the iguanas in Florida do every time we get our like
cold
2 weeks of winter. Yeah. There's a challenges and risks associated with this ecological strategy. One is just the fact that you're not getting a lot of energy. It's kind of like a koala. Like you're not a highly energized animal. You have to pick and choose your activities and maintain a slow lifestyle. And the thorny devil's survival is very tied to ant populations. But most of the time, you know, ants are good at survival. They are industrious little creatures, according to the Bible.
They are good at making a lot of themselves. It's interesting that, like, the ants have not developed a... They still just operate in these straight lines, even though the straight lines can lead to certain death if there's one of these guys, yeah, around, instead of like adapting and having a more like spread out, chaotic way of getting from place to place, or completely tunneling underground and not going overground at all. They just keep doing what they're doing, but just make more of themselves to ensure their survival.
Yeah. And then finally, a thorny devil can eat ants at a rate of about 45 ants per minute during peak feeding.
That doesn't sound like a lot.
Well,
45 ants per minute. I mean, that's you're not even lapping up an ant a second.
But imagine eating rice one at a time.
Yeah, but I feel like you're should
eating
like
45 rice one at a time by licking it up for hours. It's pretty good.
I guess you got to pace yourself. But like, does his tongue not get more than one ant per flick?
He's Pac-Maning it. Maybe if they're clustered.
As he eat 5,000 ants, so that's 100 times. So that's not bad. 145 ants a minute, and he has to eat like 5,000 ants a day. That's like 2 hours. That's about as long. I mean, that's about as long as I might spend eating in a day, all put together, all my meals put together.
Yeah, but like, that's true. But what if you were eating without YouTube?
Well, there's also food prep. That's the part that takes forever.
That's true.
If I could just heat up a Jimmy John's or something like that, or a White Castle burgers like I used to in college. Jimmy John's.
That's all I've got.
All right. Well, and it's interesting that each continent seems to, except for Europe apparently, it seems to have its own ant solution. Like North America has the horny toad, which eats ants, and then South America has the anteater, and Africa has the aardvark, and Australia has this guy, the thorny devil. Europe just must be absolutely overrun.
Suffering?
Well, we've talked about this. The Argentine ant, which is the thorny devil's main food source, is a taxonomy titan, is an alum, because it makes up the world's largest super colony. It stretches from like Oregon to Panama or something like that. It's huge. There's tens of millions of ants. And there's a that are all part of the same group. So despite the fact that the Western Hemisphere has its fair share of ant specialized predators, we have the biggest ant problem, it seems.
Yeah.
Anywho, all right. That was the thorny devil. If you're out there in Podcastia, stay prickly. Be patient. And slurp up a line of bug snacks like the thorny devil here in life, death, and taxonomy. I don't think that's the first time I've said bug snacks as the last thing.
Hey, Taxonomy Titans. I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
My favorite in the world podcast.
Bug Snacks is a great name for a game I've never even considered playing.